Hello, world. The wind is over. The hurricane has subsided here in Florida, and Abe is still alive, and you are on the Mike and Abe show.
Mike? That's right. Yeah. The Mike and Abe show survives. Abe, the road warrior cab driver.
Yes, ex-New York City taxi driver, 42 years behind the wheel. I'm still around. I haven't gone anywhere. Well, I have. I've left the city of New York. I see it now only in pictures on my computer. Okay, and right now, I'm looking at a picture of the downtown Marriott Hotel, which is on West Street, because I received a notice from a star reporter, Carolyn, okay, about how the TLC is changing the venue for the next public hearing, which is on September 28th, 2017. That's just a week or two, about 10 days from now, right? And the reason for this hearing is to go over the proposed rules for wheelchair accessibility in the FHV industry, okay? And the venue, which is normally at 33 Beaver Street, has been moved to the Marriott Hotel on West Street, which is 85 West Street between Carlisle and Albany Street, okay, for those who need to know this, for those who want to show up and talk, okay? Now, why they moved the venue, I don't know. Perhaps they're trying to keep people out. I don't know. You know, they
now, I don't know, to get into the Marriott for the TLC meeting, do we still have to slip the doorman $5 or $10 like we do for the airport job?
Well, there's a picture of the Marriott on this notice, which was issued by the TLC, and there are two black cars in front of the Marriott. Okay. So right away, I think we should get those cars out of there. All right, they're not supposed to be waiting in front of the Marriott. They're supposed to. There are supposed to be yellow taxis waiting in front of the Marriott. Okay.
Right. I think as a sign of good faith, the TLC might want to look into throwing those drivers in jail. Wait there all day long and have no right to do it, and are doing that illegally as per rules.
And how many years have they been doing this?
They're a steady guys. It's like about 10 or 12 guys who go there every single day. And you know, speaking frankly, you get to the point where some cabbies would slip the doorman $5 for an airport job. You know, we're not going to reinvent the wheel. It's been going on forever, but it's like a friendly five. Versus like an evil 20 to some of the black car and Uber car drivers who don't deserve a dime because they're not supposed to get it. And you go to complain to the doorman, and he runs inside. He goes, "You can't park here." Then wait a second. You got two SUVs sitting there glaringly. It's a hotel. What do you mean? You're telling me yellow cabs can't park in front of a hotel? I mean, at what point does the doorman BS go out the window, and the management have to come in and say, "Listen, you're threatening our business." I mean, because you're extorting people at the door for taxis that are illegal. So that would be a good part of the TLC. If they want to change the meeting to that would be, I think, far more productive than doing the wheelchair thing. Can I ramble on about the wheelchair stuff for a second?
Yeah, but let me insert one thing. This is another good reason why we need the rates back on the door.
Thank you. Of the other taxi.
Because at least they could do is let the public see what the rates are, you know, to JFK, to LaGuardia, or just to, you know, to ride around the streets, rather than have these be subject to the con artists, the doormen, and these black cars who, you know, give these out-of-towners who don't know what's going on, you know, they're much cheaper than the yellow cab. You know, the yellow cab charge you God knows how much, but we're only going to charge you $85 to go to JFK, you know.
Right.
Okay. So
and what the other thing they say to the people, they say stuff like, "Oh no, those cars are only for Manhattan. If you want to go to the airport, you take one of these gas guzzling, obnoxious, huge SUVs with a guy that looks like he's been sleeping in it all day. That's the car that we want our guests to take." You know, so it's a little strange.
It just boggles my mind how the city of New York, which is the star city of the world, the city that attracts people from everywhere, okay, should present this kind of picture to the people to take home, you know, how they get hustled, right. And you know, it's you know, I don't know where in the world you have to go to see the likes of it. All right.
Probably hell. You probably have to be thrown into the pits of hell, because the other thing is, you talk about every business has their base, and this is economic erosion, because these people get treated like this. They're not going to come back. They're going to say, oh, I'm in New York. Last time I got there, I got ripped off by the limo guy. And, I mean, just not that. And then when they come in from the airport, the grass on the Van Wyck is 3 feet tall. You get weeds all over the place, garbage, dead raccoons, crackheads begging for change at red lights. So, I mean, you get, on the one hand, you get Governor Cuomo rebuilding Tappan Zee Bridge, rebuilding the Kosciuszko Bridge, rebuilding the Van Wyck, going nuts, rebuilding LaGuardia, and LaGuardia is a lot better. And then you have a mayor, de Blasio, who can't even cut the grass on the Van Wyck Expressway coming out of Kennedy Airport. So this is where we are right now. But you're right, it's a ripoff, and I think this TLC should address it. But as we segue into the wheelchair situation, I'm doing a little flip-floppy thing on the wheelchair, because on the one hand, the taxi people want their pound of flesh. It's like, oh, no. If the FHV drivers don't pick up wheelchairs, and we shouldn't pick it up. It's illegal, and it's you know, it should be the same law for everybody to have everybody. But at the same time, I'm like, look, the yellow cab and the green cab cars in New York City right now are starting to get action from the accessible ride and the wheelchair rides coming into their cabs. So what was not happening at all before, now the cabs are getting 50 cents a trip, whether they pick up or not. They're also getting the chase fee of somewhere, you can even get up to $15 just for responding to the call. It's picking up a little bit. And if you mandatory approve the wheelchair, half the cars for the FHV industry to be wheelchair accessible, you're going to put basically another 40,000 potential cars in the mix to grab the yellow cab and green car work. So be careful what you wish for, boys and girls, because that's what I'm seeing right now. It's like, and then you have people who are just selling wheelchair cars. I mean, you just have people flat out, they're jumping up and saying, you know, taxis, we need taxis. And they get these poor people in wheelchairs to wheel into TLC meetings. But at the same time, they're being helped, I think, in a large degree by people who are just selling wheelchair vehicles. These things sell for like $65,000 a piece. So that's what their business is. And as far as wheelchair vehicles for all, if we get to get to a thing where the work is forwarded to the yellow cab and the green cab, you can get thousands of more jobs, and the cabbies will finally make money off this thing. So it's going to be interesting to hear what the story is. And I'm still waiting for their economic results from the last hearing they had in the spring.
I think they kind of shoved that under the rug. You know, I mean, it was April 6th when they had that hearing, and if you want to watch that hearing, it's on the front page. There's a link on the front page of our website, NYC Taxi News. Okay, everybody should watch that hearing. It's been April. Let's see, May, June, July, August, September. We're almost 6 months since that hearing took place. Okay, and they've done nothing. The TLC has done absolutely nothing to help the yellow cab driver, okay, financially.
It's an outrage.
Okay.
Done everything to destroy us and nothing to help.
Yeah, right.
So And at least give us the information that they've had so they can give a determination to us about what's good and what's bad. Because right now they had this big hearing. They wasted everybody's time. They should have had results one way or the other in, let's say, 2 or 3 weeks. They haven't even addressed it. So you're on point with that, my brother. Anyway, so when is this meeting again? When is the next
is on September 28th, which I should be a Thursday. Let me look at my calendar. Yes, it's a Thursday. Not this coming Thursday, but the Thursday after, I believe. Okay? And it's going to be not at the TLC headquarters on Beaver Street. Not. It will be held... Right. At the New York Marriott downtown, 85 West Street, New York, New York, 100006. Okay, and this hotel, if you're a cab driver, you probably know it. You probably passed by there 1,000 times looking for fares, you know, fighting with the black cars to get them. You know, they hail the cab if they're going to Greenwich Village, but they don't hail the cab if they're going to Newark Airport. Okay?
Right.
Right? Okay. It's on West Street, just below the new World Trade Center building. Okay? And
It's right around the corner from the TLC, from the TLC, I think, oath hearings are there.
Oh, is that right? Okay.
If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, okay. And
so right around the corner.
You know, so if you got something to say, be there. Okay?
Yeah.
All right.
So that means I'll be there.
Okay. It says here, you may also telephone 212-676-1135 if possible. I guess this is if you want to. Oh, it says the hearing room is wheelchair accessible and car will be provided in the meeting room. You must tell the Office of Legal Affairs if you need a reasonable accommodation of a disability at the hearing. You must tell us if you need a sign language interpreter. And anyway, the number to call to get any information is 212-676-1135. Okay? So if you haven't heard about it, you've heard it first here from Mike and Abe. Okay?
Yes.
Okay, and...
Exactly.
You know, and... As soon as I get enough money to buy my jet airplane, I'll be flying up for it. Okay, but I do watch the meetings.
We'll put up any right. Put up any together.
I do watch the meetings on the internet. They're streamed live on the internet. Okay, and I have them all, and I do post these the video for the hearings after they're held, so you could watch the hearing on NYC Taxi News. Okay. You know, usually this. Right. I usually get it up the same day, okay? If not, the next day.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So.
Oh yeah, no, you're very good with that. So.
Yeah.
So let's get off this mess and go on to your hurricane adventure, which was insane.
Hurricane adventure, okay. Well, what's there to say, Mike? You know, I put my taxi driving experience into work, and I drove. It took me 23 hours to get to. I forget the name of the town. It's Murfreesboro or something, Tennessee. Okay, which is just 30 miles south of Nashville, and I got to tell you, Mike, I've had lots of people in my taxi from every state in the union, including Tennessee, but I've never been to Tennessee in my life. Okay,
never in your life.
You know, born and raised in Brooklyn. Okay, lived all my life in Brooklyn, in upstate New York. Okay, and moved to Florida several years ago when everything was fine with the taxi business, and I thought I would have a comfortable retirement. Okay, which thank God I had my loans paid. Okay, because I'm still able to live on the small pittance I'm getting now. All right.
You're not kidding.
I know.
You started out pretty good. Yeah. Now you're down to pittance.
It was
It was comfortable retirement. It turned into pittance in the course of what, 4 years?
A little at a time, but I'm still surviving. And my mother always told me, don't get into debt. And if you are in debt, get out of it. And I paid for my medallion. It took me years and years and years to get even, but I did.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and because I got even, I'm able to take the heat of this of what's happened. Okay, and there are many people out there who can't take the heat, who have been swindled.
Right.
Okay, have been swindled by the city of New York into buying a medallion for $1 million or more, or even $800,000 or more, and more. And then got no backing from the city of New York for the money they took. You know, they took it happily. You know, with the guarantee of the American dream, okay, which has turned for them into the American nightmare. Okay, and
you know, 1,000% right.
And somebody wrote an article, and I just. I had it sent to me this morning, called New York City Taxi Medallions. And if you go to the media page, okay, where all the news stories are listed, it's right now the first story to read. It was written by Somebody who, let me see, I have his name here. You know, I can't find it when I need it. Okay, I know where to find it because my star reporter, Carolyn, sends me everything I need. It was written by a man named Kevin Morris. It was written by a man named Kevin Morris, who was a senior economist at one of New York region's big transportation agency, I believe the Port Authority. Okay, he's a student also. He's also a part-time student pursuing a master's in urban planning. But you have to read this article. Everybody, you must read this article. He really lays it out like it is. Okay.
Now, what is the name of the article verbatim? What is the name of the, what is the guy's
New
name?
York City Taxi Medallions.
That's the name of the article?
Yes.
And what is his name?
His name is, let me go back, Kevin, his name is Kevin Morris.
Okay. Well, all I know from, okay, so New York City Taxi Medallions by Kevin Morris, it's on your site, correct?
It's on our site.
Our side. Uh-oh, am I in trouble?
Yeah.
So let's see. Now, the other thing here is I looked at some of the tea I found in my archives, a.k.a. cleaning out the garage. I found the upset prices for the medallion medallion sales on auctions directly from the city, right? They had the upset prices for medallion sales directly from the city. Don't have it in front of me now, but at the very least, the city of New York should have guaranteed taxi medallions sold at auction from the city of New York. They should have guaranteed that upset price.
That's right.
Telling the buyers, say, listen, whatever happens, okay, maybe it'll go to $1 million, maybe it'll go to $2 million, $5 million. Whatever's going to happen, boys and girls, you're not going to get less on a sale of a medallion of the upset price that we basically guaranteed you at the sale direct from the city of New York, not cabbie to cabbie, but from the city of New York to a driver, because we had our economic team from the city of New York establish that price that we feel is the minimum amount of value. So let's say all of a sudden all hell breaks loose and Abe says, listen, Mike, you know, I'm just so sick of this BS, I got to get out. At least there would be some basic minimum for your own sanity that you know you could jump out of this. Even if we'll say two-thirds the price or half the price, at least it would be some there. Versus all this willy-nilly stuff. Because now the only thing we have to establish a price is this auction, a private auction, apparently the first day of, was it, the three stages of this auction,
mm-hmm.
from what I read, occurred earlier last week. And I'm going around the horn asking, well, what happened to the auction? Nobody knows. So I got to find out what's happening with that.
Well,
guarantees something, yeah. They should guarantee it.
Yeah, I have some hearsay on that, okay, and that is
okay,
that
hearsay.
That you know there was one group that bid $7.7 million for all 46 medallions, okay, which comes to I don't know what it comes to seven point seven divided by 46. Equals
7.2 or 7.7?
7.7. So it comes to 167,000 per medallion. Okay. And,
right.
And it's Capital One, I believe, that's sponsoring this auction or presenting this mm-hmm. auction, I should say. You know, they're the ones that are right. trying to, unload the foreclosed medallions. Okay. The 46 medallions right. that belong to, the so-called taxi king, okay, who's really a pawn, but he's not a king, okay.
You know, right now he's having a tough time.
Well, he's out from behind bars, I think. I don't know, okay, but all right, they just said that they would purchase the medallions themselves for $335,000 rather than take the bid for $7.7 million for the 46, which is only $167,000. Okay. But mm-hmm. but tomorrow, the 18th, they're gonna continue with the auction to see if anybody bids that much or more. Okay, that's what
on the 18th.
Yeah, that's tomorrow. Okay, today's the 17th. We're doing this show on Sunday. Okay, and that's hearsay. This is all hearsay, and I don't know if it's factual or not. Okay, all right. Or I may have read this somewhere, or somebody may have wrote this, but we have to wait and see what happens. Okay. Now, getting back to your upset price. Okay, you know, this is simple. Consumer protection, Mike. You know, I mean, if the city of New York was going to auction medallions, okay, and say, listen, you got to start at X price, okay. We know the medallions now are worth $800,000, okay. So we want our the minimum bid to be $800,000. So even giving them a little leeway and saying, well, they could go down in value, and we recognize that, okay? But they should guarantee, right. They don't have to, I would be happy if they didn't actually guarantee 100% of that upset price, but say 75% of that upset price, okay?
Right.
So that...
And, you know, the other smart thing to do for them, I think, if I could jump, let me just jump, is... If it's such a great deal, I mean, you would think the city would say, hey, look, you know, all right, there's trouble in the industry. If these guys just want to walk in tomorrow and, you know, hand the medallion into the city of New York and get a certified check from the city of New York, I think everybody wins. This way there's no mystery, and it's like, listen, we guaranteed you this. You're giving it back because you're scared. I would think the city of New York would be playing with house money because they say, okay, sure, we'll take the medallions back. We'll just re-auction them in a future date when they go back up to $800,000 or $900,000. And, you know, well, like, you know what I mean? Just like any other business.
Well, they could recoup the money by capping the FHVs and getting an upset price from them.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
You know, which is what they should do. Okay? There should be caps on all vehicles. Okay? If there's caps on all vehicles, then all vehicles have value. Okay?
Yeah.
You know,
you can't even breathe.
I remember back in the 80s, there was only so many radio cars that were allowed, and in order to get into a radio group, you had to buy that radio.
That's correct.
Right. So once you put a cap on something, you're giving it value. You're saying, okay, there are only so many of these that can exist. Okay. So the value is this. The value is X, Y, Z, whatever it is, okay? And they can go up and they can go down, okay? You know, and if they, you know, look, it's no big secret that there are too many cars out there on the street and that everybody is hurting, just like in 1936, okay, when they started the Hass Act, okay? So we're not telling them to kick the FHV off the street, although that wouldn't be a bad idea, okay?
Good point.
We're fair. You know,
yeah.
or at least I'm being fair, and I'm saying, look, you know, cap the FHVs, you know, how many are there? 100,000, 110,000? Cap them at 50,000. Okay?
Right.
You know, and they work in all boroughs.
Sure.
Okay? And cap them at 50,000, and that's it. And then everybody will be happy. You know, the yellows will be able to make money. The yellows will be able to value their medallions back, okay? And the FHVs will have a value, okay?
Sure.
You know, if you want to buy, go ahead.
Trying once again to segue, I mean, that's a very good point because the one thing that the auction did when they used to have before de Blasio, BD, is they used to have, every so often, like every 3 or 4 years, they used to have some kind of taxi medallion auction where you could see an official price, so at least you could hunker down and say, okay, the price is this, and the price is that, it's going up, it's flat, it's going down. But we haven't had the medallion auctions, and apparently they were supposed to auction these infamous wheelchair-accessible vehicle medallions, and they haven't been auctioned. So now instead of auctioning off those medallions, now they're going to jump into the wheelchair-accessible vehicle pool and put 40,000 wheelchair-accessible vehicles on the road. And how many, you know, the FHV guys have a very good point. They say, listen, we don't even know how many calls are coming in. You say you want half the calls from the public Something about where they want half the calls to go to FHVs. What does that work?
No. I think what they want is for 25% of the FHVs to be wheelchair accessible. So in other words, to do the same that they did with the yellows, as they get new cars, they have to become wheelchair accessible. Okay.
Right. All right. Well, now the yellow cab, basically, in my opinion, if that happens, we will have retrofitted our industry for nothing, because there are only X amount of people in wheelchairs that need these cars. I mean, you don't have 5 million people who need accessible vehicles and wheelchair cars. You have maybe, I think it was 100, 150,000 people, and they don't even take cars every day, and they have motorized wheelchairs. So they're not, and there's no place to pick them up. There's no place designated on the streets of New York for cars to safely pick up people in wheelchairs or with canes or limping along. They haven't even designated pickup places for these vehicles. And there's nowhere to park. There's nowhere to pull over. So I'm just wondering, you know, is this to help the handicapper, or is this to help the trial lawyers?
Good question.
Good question.
Okay.
So anyway, on a brighter note.
Yeah.
On a brighter note, let's talk about the hurricane.
The hurricane. I told you, I drove to Montfreesboro, to Tennessee. Okay, stayed in a absolutely horrible hotel for one night. Left the hotel with my standard thank you, which I won't repeat. Okay.
Right.
Okay, they were very corrupt, this hotel, and I found myself aware, I'm not even going to mention the name of the hotel, okay, but I did do a review on TripAdvisor, okay, and then went to another, hotel, which was basically the same price as this horrible hotel, which was absolutely great, and that was called the Sleep Inn, okay, and stayed there for 5 days, okay. And I waited for the for everything to return to somewhat normality, because I number one, it was I was 900 miles away from my home in Florida, okay,
right.
And it took me 23 hours to drive there, and I did all 23 hours in one shot, you know. How's that TLC? Okay, and I learned how to do that driving a taxi. Okay, my wife Sue, okay, you know, passed out 3 times while I was driving, you know, because she couldn't stay awake, but I did. All right, okay, and I got there, you know, and but coming back, I wasn't going to do that again, because it took me 2 days to recover from that. All right.
Oh boy.
You know, I mean, I left at 6 o'clock in the morning, and got there at 5 o'clock in the morning. Actually, I crossed over into the Central Time Zone, right? So, you know, I don't know what time it was. It was either 5 or 6 or whatever.
Just what you need.
Yeah. Okay. And then I said I wanted to make sure that the return trip, I wouldn't run into the same traffic that I ran into going there. You know, and basically what I ran into was 300-400 miles of FDR kind of traffic, FDR Drive, bumper traffic.
Rush hour traffic. Yeah.
Right? Because everybody was fleeing the state. Because our great governor, I want to say one thing about the governor of Florida, okay? Rick Scott, I challenge Andrew Cuomo to do what Rick Scott did, okay? If you guys get hit with a blazing snowstorm or another hurricane like Sandy, that you were hit with a couple of years ago, Rick Scott suspended every toll in the state. It was 8 days at my last count. I don't know if it's still on, but from the day before, the 2 days before the hurricane actually hit, when he was telling people to get out, to evacuate. Okay, there were no tolls. You got on the turnpike, no tolls. Okay?
Wow.
All right. I challenge Andrew Cuomo to do the same should an emergency come up in New York. And I'm betting that he doesn't do it. Okay?
I doubt that.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, Uber, right. I think Uber, I've heard, doubles their surge. So Uber helps out by doubling their prices.
Uber got blown away in Miami because there was nobody there. All right. Okay. And I don't know.
Uber.
They weren't even in the news. Nobody wanted to hear about them. All right. But coming back, I waited until, you know, the storm hit on Sunday and Monday or late Saturday. And I was watching the internet and reading the reports of the traffic going back. Okay. Which was just as bad as the traffic coming out. All right. And I just waited 3 days and finally I was able to drive back normally. It only took 16 hours. Okay. Which I did in one move. I only stopped for a cheeseburger at McDonald's.
Oh, Jesus. What a mess.
Okay.
So, all right. So, I mean, but basically when the news was broadcasting this hurricane, it looked like this is again with the news. I mean, I know they're trying to do a job and they're trying to say the weather, but the way they presented it, you would have sworn it was the end of the world and Florida was just going to like break off from the mainland. And everybody, and millions of people would be dead. That's basically what the news was being presented. And I guess that's why everybody panicked to get out, because it's like all of a sudden you have like a nuke is coming in, and everybody's going to get killed, and you got to leave right away.
Well,
you had some people who rode out the storm.
Well, there were lots of people that rode out the storm, and they went without power, electric power and food, no food, and no mm-hmm. air conditioning, because the temperature went up into the 90s after the storm was over, okay? And people died. Older people died, you know, who people that, talk about wheelchairs, these people are confined to their homes, all right? And, you know, there are many reports of people that died because of that. All right? And, it's horrible. It's really horrible, all right? You know, so.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. Yeah. They had the nursing home. Apparently, they were in the nursing home, and either the generator went out, they died from the heat, or else the carbon monoxide from the generators filled up into their room. So, either way, I mean, you had like two ways to die, and I think you have just a horrible situation there. But I'm glad you got out, and I'm glad Florida's on the mend. But with Texas and Florida, I got to tell you something. I'm starting to think there is some kind of like global something going on with the weather, because this is just so much crazy stuff going on. And I'll tell you the other thing. I drove in yesterday last night from JFK. I had some like this Middle East guy coming in for the UN, and I would have talked to him, but we have this solid partition in the van cab, which I hate.
Mm-hmm.
And, so I couldn't get the scoop on why he was here. But as I'm coming down the East River Drive, off the Triborough Bridge southbound, my God, and this is like when the tide is supposed to go out. And it was about 5 o'clock in the afternoon on Saturday, and man, I got to tell you, the tide was so high. It was literally a foot and a half to 2 feet from the edge of the East River Drive. It was that close to coming onto the drive, and it was huge. I mean, if you would have had one big boat, it easily would have splashed waves onto the East River Drive, and I didn't see any big ships coming down. Because I think the word was out to say, listen, people, you do anything on this river now, it's just going to splash onto the drive. But the tide was so high, and it wasn't raining. It wasn't raining, it wasn't windy, I think just the aftermath of all this hurricane stuff. So we really got to start taking care of our planet, because at this stage of the game, it's the only one we've got. Because we don't have the ability to jump off to Mars or to Jupiter or, dare I say, Uranus. Or one of the other planets.
Yeah, well,
to save ourselves,
we'd have to go a lot further than that to find a good place to live. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Europa, like in the Santana song, Europa is probably the top. The moon Europa is one of our only hopes for like a spare planet. But in the meantime, you get all these glaciers melting. You got hurricanes. You got tornadoes. You got the sea stocks with the fish are just being destroyed and ripped apart. So we really got to start taking care of the planet. And we're getting into a thing where you wonder how much longer oil's going to be around, because I know that they're talking about the electric cars. They have in, I think, France and England are going to ban gas and diesel-powered vehicles in 2040, and that just came out. So, Abe, you're on the cutting edge, but I'm very proud of you the way you soldiered on and rescued your wife there. And so what's new? What's the cab scene in Nashville? As long as you got to see how the other half lives.
I saw taxis in Nashville. They're all different colors, green and yellow and blue, and I took one photo only, okay? I didn't bring my camera with me, so I used my flip phone. I don't have a smartphone, you know, and I took a very nice picture. Right. I sent it to you, Mike. I don't know if you saw it. Did you see it?
I did. It was a nice cab. Nice, multicolored cab.
Yeah, but I didn't spend a lot of time in Nashville. I was only there for about 3 or 4 hours, okay? You know, we just walked around, and Nashville has a scene I would compare to like Greenwich Village, okay, where there was all kinds of people on the street, you know, partying and having a good time, and very friendly, these people, okay, and, you know, it was cool. You know, I'd like to see Nashville again sometime, but it's not, I don't know. I may never go to Tennessee again, but it's a very nice place to visit. Okay,
and
I'll tell you one thing. I met some friends of mine from New York came and met us. Okay, and you know, and we went to the Hard Rock Cafe. Now, all the times I've seen the Hard Rock Cafe, at first it was on 57th Street, if you recall, and then they moved to Times Square, okay? I'm going back, you know, like 10, 20 years, right? And all the tourists go there, okay? And I never in my life thought I would ever eat there. And we had 4 hamburgers, right? And the bill was $80.
Right.
Right? Right. So that's the first and last.
Now, folks out there in Radioland, I've owed Abe money from time to time, and I've also had to pay Abe money from time to time. So I'm just going to say I'm surprised Abe didn't just turn into like pink mist when the bill came, because just the look on your face seeing 4 hamburgers for $80, I can only imagine there was probably something on the Richter scale when that happened.
Well, it's very simple. I had to call up my broker, my taxi broker, and tell him that he can't cut me anymore. You know, that this is it. I got to pay $80 for a hamburger, you know, before hamburgers. Actually, I have cut my basic expenses a bit. You know, like I said before, I don't owe any money to anybody. So I do have some cash in my pocket. All right. My expenses.
Well, see, that's a good thing. If all the cabbies listening out there, you got to squirrel away. Like, I saw a squirrel in the lawn here. I think it's going to be a cold winter in New York because the squirrels are going nuts, and thus the phrase, they're squirreling away their nuts. And no crazy jokes from the people. They're squirreling away their nuts into the ground as we speak now, and it's the second week of September. So usually, the Farmers' Almanac folks say to look for stuff like that. If you see the squirrels scurrying around early for the onset of winter, it means it's going to be a heavy-duty winter. So I'm thinking we're going to get our butts kicked with snow because Mr. Squirrel and his friends are in the backyard ripping up the ground right
now. You mean like when you're going to get a couple of those 30-inch snowstorms, something like that, right?
Everybody get your
Governor Cuomo, remember, I'm betting that you don't suspend the tolls. Okay?
Right.
I'm betting.
Bet on.
I'm betting that you don't suspend one toll, not even one toll. Okay.
Yeah.
And Governor Rick.
That's the mother's milk. The mother's milk of politics. And MTA and toll.
You know, and Governor Rick Scott in Florida did it by himself. It was done by executive order.
Executive order.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, you know, the other thing is let's put on your tourist hat because I'm glad it's a strange way I don't want to say the vacation, but I'm glad you got away for a few days. Now, just look at what I'm looking at in New York, where you see people getting on the Van Wyck with this disgusting weeds and grass and garbage and dead animals on the side. I'm not being sarcastic.
It's coming
out of the airport.
Yeah.
Right. And when you go into Nashville, you're not looking at weeds and dead animals and homeless
people. It was very clean.
Right.
Okay, and the roads were very drivable. Okay? And what more can I say? You know, I mean, you know, New York should look around the country at other cities. Okay, even Miami is a clean place. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, you drive around Miami, and there's a lot of traffic in Miami, probably thanks to Uber. Okay.
Right.
I mean, you know,
Uber's big. Is Uber big in Miami?
Well, let me put it to you this way: the taxis are all crying, just like the taxis in New York. Okay.
They're all, yeah. All right. They're crying towel. Yeah.
Yeah, but they're not dead. They can't kill us, Mike.
Yeah.
They can't kill us.
They can't kill us.
Okay.
They cannot kill us.
We're down, but we're not out. All right.
We're not out, and we need just a few minor adjustments. I'll tell you one thing, yeah. my friend. I think the brick and mortar cabbies are going to be making a renaissance, and by that I mean the cab driver who drives a cab. And I think some of these outside investors, and I think it's probably going to phase away from the investment thing for retirement, because I think right now any medallion owner moving forward would be scared to death to rely on getting cab money in their golden years versus just socking it away in a mutual fund. Because what has happened now is that confidence in the city of New York has been eroded, and it's just another thing that they should never have let happen. I mean, they had a golden goose. The city of New York could have sold 1,000 medallions straight from the city of New York for $1 million apiece. That's $1 billion. Also generating car sales for those 1,000, you know, every 3 or 4 years, insurance, jobs, mechanics job. You had a whole industry of people who just lost work, and the city, they used to have a 5% transfer tax, which Taxi Dave lowered to 0.5%. But right now, it's 0.5%. The city's getting 0.5% of nothing because nobody's doing anything. There's no, like, street money to buy medallions. Not a lot. So I just think moving forward is going to be better for the owner drivers of cabs, and for the outside speculators like our friend who got dragged off to jail, I think those days might be gone. I hate to say it, you know, not hate to say it, but you know, I think that's my perspective.
Yeah. Well, look. I still believe that if they cap all the vehicles, that there will be opportunities for everybody to have an equity in the medallion. Be it FHV or, right. or yellow, okay, the future wouldn't be so bleak. It would be a lot better if they did that, okay,
right.
And gave
well, I've done the math.
Yeah,
and you say to yourself, how much money how much money is the city and state making on just selling cars and all this chaos versus just selling medallions? It's the easiest thing they've done. You make a piece of tin and you sell it for $1 million. This is sounds like a pretty good business to me.
Yeah, well, they could let other people spend money, put their cars on the road, and just in DMV fees, you know, make a ton of money. Yeah. And all they need is a piece of paper. You know, fill out a
well,
form.
Well, it's an outrage.
You know, but
it's just mind-boggling.
Look, the people of the state of New York need to take back the state of New York.
Okay. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, let me just turn to something else here. I'd like to thank our star reporter, Carolyn, for filling me in on things that are going on. Okay. You know, number one, the Melrose Federal Appeal will have oral arguments on October 24th. Okay. If anybody's wondering whatever happened to the Melrose case, well, it was dismissed a number of months ago by a judge, but now it's an appeal, okay? And the appeal will be heard on October 24th, okay? Now, these dates are always changed.
Is that open? That's open to the public, right? That's
well, anybody can walk into a courtroom by law.
Right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I'm not telling.
I'd like to see what's going on.
I'm not telling people to go down there and see. I'm just saying that this is the date that there'll be arguments made, and you know, so look for news stories after that, of things.
Right.
That, you know,
here's the way politics work. Okay,
yeah.
I mean, if you had hypothetically, if Al Sharpton and his followers had a hearing for something on October 24th. I'm guessing a few hundred people would show up, right? Whatever his issue would be, there'd be a few hundred people at the hearing. And now all of this stuff is just, we have to start thinking in terms of it's an election. We have to start putting pressure, because all these politicians and judges respond to, in my mind now, is they're looking at us, and they're seeing how much hooting and hollering we're doing, and if we're like little church mice and we're not around, they'll say, well, you know, they don't care. Why should I care? Next! So we have to start thinking in terms of that, in terms of making some noise, because we are well within our rights to start making noise. I mean, that's what I am.
Like. Noise is fine. In South Africa, there's violence. The meter taxi drivers, and the stories I posted, have actually burned Uber cars. Okay?
Which we are not advocating.
No, I do not advocate that, okay? But, right. you know, Uber has caused people, you know, taxi drivers all over the world to fight. Okay?
Right. Like, and in France, too. I know the French went nuts with the... with the Uber stuff.
Okay, you know, but we could do it. We could do things peacefully in New York, and everybody can be happy. Okay.
Well, this is what we're saying. We're trying to be reasonable people.
Right.
We have the math. The math and the history is on our side. We're like, listen, Your Honor, it was this, and now it's this because of that.
Yeah, but
1, 2, 3. Please get rid of these people. Next case. It's so simple. I mean, you got to be kidding.
Well, in my opinion, it's not only the math and the history; it's the law. And despite what some silly judge says, you know, that the law doesn't count. I don't know what these judges have said in the past, especially in the Melrose case and the one with Judge Weiss out there in Queens in the state, case, right? Said, well, you guys will have to fight it out, to compete with the FHVs that. On-demand FHVs, the wording he used was like, what? You know, it was...
Listen, it's a street hail. Let's call the judges and the people, they got to get out of their bench on this street. It's a street hail. I was driving last night in Manhattan with my little yellow cab, obeying the law right and left. I'm the big law obeyer.
Right.
And everybody else is doing whatever the hell they want. They're hustling people, they're saying, give me $50. The Uber guy is sitting next to people, a group of people, saying, if you have an Uber app, you can Uber. And he's basically saying, I'm sitting here, push your Uber app, and I'll be the nearest car to you, and I'll get the call right away, which is what they're doing now. So they are, in fact, in my opinion, street hails. And the city of New York guaranteed exclusivity to yellow cabs. And the chairperson, Chairperson Nosy, as I affectionately call her.
Right.
She keeps talking about, we encourage competition. Listen, you made a law that said we would have exclusive rights to street hail. The city of New York told us that competition, to a large degree, would be eliminated because of street hail. And because of that, it made the medallion worth something.
Yeah,
okay?
and also...
After 75 years... Yeah. She's going to change everything. Yeah. I don't think so.
And also, it's the TLC that regulates us. You know, we don't gouge people on pricing. You know, one of the reasons. This just brings up something interesting. One of the reasons that monopolies are prohibited in our country. Okay, I don't know. I'm not sure what law prohibits monopolies, but they're not favored. Okay, one of the reasons that they're not favored is because once you have a monopoly, you could charge whatever you want, and you could abuse the customers. Okay, but we're regulated.
Right.
We don't charge whatever we want. We charge what the regulations allow us. That's why the TLC was created.
Correct.
Okay, that's why. And before the TLC, there was the Hack Bureau that did that, that said, no, you can only charge this much, and you have to apply, if you want to change your rates, you have to apply to us, and we will do a study, and we will allow you to change your rates only when we say so. When we say we've done our study, and we agree with you that you need more money to cover your expenses, okay? And so what is she talking about competition, you know, and monopolies? You know, we're run by a government that's regulating us. Monopolies don't get run by governments, okay? You know, if you're a cookie factory, if you're a cookie factory and you're the only cookie factory in the country, well, then you could charge $20 a cookie, right? Mm-hmm. And mommy, buy me a cookie, please. You know, you know.
Well,
you're gonna.
I just want to say something else with her, with the chairperson of the TLC. She talks about competition. How much competition did she have when she got the job? I mean, she out of a city filled with, let's say, 400,000 lawyers. I think it's some crazy number. It's like of the professional people, or the state, or the city. It's like 400,000 lawyers running around. So the odds are 400,000 to 1 that she was the best brain in the legal community to get the job as chairperson of the taxi commission. And what competition did she have when
none.
She was being
she had absolutely none. She was
for Jefferson.
She was put there because it was the easiest thing for de Blasio to do because she was already in the office.
Right. So okay. This is the person talking about competition. I wish we had some competition for a chairperson of the TLC, like annually, like an annual vote of confidence or vote of no confidence. And you're right. I mean, hypothetically, these people criticizing the medallion system, like let's say the New York Times, oh, the medallion, you know, blah, blah, blah. What would happen if we started a publication and we called it the New York Times? Let's say tomorrow morning you say, you know, I agree with the New York Times. Let's start a publication. We'll call it the New York Times. We'd be strung up by our you-know-whats in Times Square, all right?
I know. The point is this. You know, there are better people to run the TLC, and I'm hoping that somehow, some way, those better people get into that spot. Okay,
right.
All right.
And I hope there's a little bit of a better vetting process moving forward, because you just can't make it a hack job, no pun. But you got to have people. I mean, out of the hundreds of thousands of people with the legal minds, we had a great guy there, Matt Doss, and now he's gone because of some dust up they had. And since then, it's been an oasis, not an oasis. It's been a desert. Mm-hmm. Of political leadership at the taxi commission, and all this mess is started because we may not have had the best people running the show.
Uh-huh.
So moving forward, we got to work on that.
Okay.
Yeah. So I guess that you got some sponsors you want to say. Oh, you also got an ad on your vacation.
Oh.
So I don't have the thing right in front of me because my internet's down.
Let me go to the web page. Okay. And first, I want to say we do have a new advertiser. His name is Peter. Peter Joseph Esquire, and if you're having trouble with bankruptcy or creditors knocking on your door, he wants to talk to you. He wants to help you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And
his
ad is up in the upper right-hand corner of the website, and his phone number is 212-924-1498, and he has mm-hmm. another number here, 646-337-7051. You could email him at peter.joseph72@post.harvard.edu. He's a Harvard trained attorney, and he will help you.
Wow.
Okay. 40 years experience.
Oh, that's great.
Okay. And right. And then there's our regular advertisers.
And welcome aboard.
Welcome aboard, Peter. We're glad to have you.
Yeah.
Okay. And
right, so I'll do the checker ad now. Ready? I'll do the checker ad.
Yeah.
Okay. Checker Taxi is located in Long Island City, right off of 21st Street on 38th Avenue. Their phone number is 718-361-6300. Is that their number?
My internet's 361, right. 718-361-6300.
And what's their address?
1105 38th Avenue, Long Island City. Okay.
All right, take two.
And
Checker Taxi is located at 1105 38th Avenue in Long Island City. Their phone number is 718-361-6300. Checker Taxi. They have day shifts, night shifts, weekends, weeklies. What are you waiting for? Go check out Checker Taxi at 718-361-6300. If you're a licensed TLC driver and if you're sick of driving for one of those car service app mumble-jumbo deals, go back to the yellow cab. There's money on the streets. I drove myself last night. And I'll tell you, business is booming. So check out Checker at 718-361-6300. And Abe, you got a guy in Brooklyn.
We got we have King Brokerage out in Bay Ridge. Bensonhurst, somewhere in between Bensonhurst and Bay Ridge. at 6814 right. Fifth Avenue. Okay, and his phone number is 718-833-8110. Okay, we also have WB Taxi in Long Island City. Okay,
and I'll do WB Taxi.
Yeah,
WB Taxi located in Long Island City. What's your address?
3511 43rd Avenue.
At 3511 43rd Avenue, their phone number is 718-729-7777. You can't miss them. They got the blue bumper sticker. That's WB Taxi, 718-729-7777. All shifts available. They got Camrys ready to roll on weeklies. And like I said, they got the blue bumper sticker. You can't miss them. If you forget what I'm saying with my loud mouth, you can always check out the blue bumper sticker on the back of cabs throughout the city. Again, that's WB Taxi, 718-729-7777. And Abe, who else you got?
We got the MTBOT. Okay, Metropolitan
MTBOT.
Taxi. Metropolitan Taxi Cab Board of Trade. And they say lease a yellow taxi cab from an MTBOT operator. Okay, and they give free defensive driving and wave training course instruction, free online TLC application and renewal processing, free legal representation at Oath, Port Authority, Traffic and Criminal Court, and free experienced MTBOT staff members to work with you directly if you should have any problems. Okay? And
yes.
You call 718-784-4343 and ask for Kanchan Das. Okay? And don't forget your taxes and Tony Tax. Okay? He will come to you.
Tony Tax.
Okay? He will come to you.
He delivers.
Yeah. Okay? He's at 718-413-6126. Okay? And all of these ads on NYC Taxi News that you see, click on them and it'll take you to a website. All right?
Mm-hmm.
And, Mike, that about wraps things up. What do you think?
I think it's been a great show. I think you're a great guy. You had a wild week with life-threatening hurricanes bearing down on you, and you're doing the yeoman's work out there, Abe, in where you are. And I just hope everything turns around. Which, and I tell you, I drove last night. It was very busy, and the only caveat with the very busy is apparently the Uber people when they get too drunk, they don't take Uber. So when they get drunk or if they're, as they say, you know, bringing sand to the beach with a drunk friend, they take the yellow cab.
Well, Mike,
so legally we don't have to pick up drunks, but it is part of the game.
Mike, yeah. I believe you've worked now about the 16, 17 days in a row. Am I right about that?
Mm. No, I took a couple days off.
You did?
So I did, though.
Oh, okay.
I did, yes.
Well, how about the other days? Forget, last night was Saturday night. How about the other days?
The other days, it's... I'll tell you what's happening. The day shift is getting out. A lot of the fleets are getting out.
Yeah, but how's business
out?
When I mean, you're out there? That's what I want to know.
Business is better. Business is up since last year, and it is better. And this is the problem. I mean, we got people going into court, and I guess there's a school of thought that says, you know, keep saying everything's horrible. Keep saying everything's horrible. And I'm trying to say, look, we have to be honest one way or the other, because if things are good, we got to say it. If things are bad, we got to say it. This way we have some validity to our argument. But the structure of the courts not doing anything to protect the legal operators has to be tightened up by the judge and by the court, because we have good days and bad days, but the actual structure of cabbies being able to get their own cab, their own medallion, their own loans is being threatened by a bunch of geeks from the West Coast, in my opinion. And we need a judge to tighten this up to help the first. A lot of these guys are first generation cabbies who bought medallions directly from the city. So while we might be having good days and bad days now, we have to get these judges to finally take a responsible look at things, say, hey, the city of New York agreed to a system where these drivers would be able to work safely and comfortably within this construct. And we have to make sure that stays intact, because right now the cabbies, I think, in my opinion, are getting ripped off by these fly-by-night phony balonies. So we have to make sure that doesn't happen anymore.
Okay, so you just gave me a complicated answer to a simple question, all right?
That's what I do.
Okay, I know. So I'm just going to ask you once again, how's business during the week, good or bad?
It's no surprises. The big nights are big. The bad nights are bad. And I, as far as uniformly saying, it's frustrating because as soon as the night shift starts, there's an onslaught of Uber drivers. Because
are you making money, Mike? At least, yes or no?
If it's yes or no, it's yes.
That's what I'm asking.
I'm not driving a Camry.
Right. If you're making money, that's all drivers want to know, that they're going to go out there and make money. Okay?
Well, yes, they can. But things should be better.
Okay.
You know?
All right. So we did a great show, and say good.
Gotcha.
Say
good, okay, say, goodbye, world. Thank you very much.
Thanks for tuning into the Mike and Abe Show, and we'll be back next week.
We'll be back.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.